Also, at the time that he was in Philippi, he and Silas were taken, and they were beaten, and then they were thrown into the prison. Before that, they were before that night, there was the earthquake, and they broke out. But through all this time that was happening, he was going through all these like struggles, and he was beaten severely, and it's just a lot of physical and mental pain that he was just strained. But through us all, and only by the strength of God and not his own, he endured all the physical pain and suffering brought to him. Because it wasn't just physical strength. He was talking about the power to be joyful and endure anything through Christ. 16 years ago, you avid football fans might remember the name Tim Tebow, possibly one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live in college. Famously, he wrote Philippians 4:13 in a playoff game on his iBlack. Since then, it became a trend and it was super popular, and other athletes were writing them on their shoes and on their athletic tape and other bands, so it was visible to the public. For example, Anthony Robles, in the NCAA Wrestling National Championship in 2011, was born with one leg. And after he won, he directly quoted Philippians 4:13, but he later interviewed to clarify that it wasn't for his physical ability, but he wanted to clarify that it was because of the endurance Christ gave him to go through the hardships and struggles of his wrestling career, because he was a Christ-centered man. And there's another example by the name of Mr. Maynard. Right now he's a person who speaks at a bunch of events for just to encourage a lot of people, because and he was born in 1992 and he was born with no limbs. He had this rare disease, so he grew up and like since he was young he had to be taught to face a lot of struggles that he would, you know, day to day, and his parents had to help him a lot. So, but, you know, he played a lot of sports. He played football, and he always found a way to get around. And he was actually one of the best defensive tackles ever, because he would just go right under their legs and tackle the quarterback. But he was also a really famous wrestler. And he was from the state of Georgia, and he became a state qualifier, which in that state is really difficult. But from that point, his relationship with Jesus got really close, but again, not because of him being 106 pounds with no limbs, but the mental endurance that he had to have through his whole life. So, us knowing that what Paul meant when he wrote this to the church in Philippi, we should have courage every day to express joy and proclaim the name of Jesus. So as Christians, knowing we face troubles all the time, sometimes we think it's just too much for us, but we forget that Jesus gives us the strength to face them all. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sometimes we face hardships in our lives that make it feel overwhelming, but Lord, I pray that you remind us that only by your strength and not our own, we can endure. Amen.
If you would, please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. We're just going to read one verse, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Obviously, it's a very short verse, but important in my life, and I feel as though it should be important in everyone's life, too. That one phrase that Jesus says, surely I come quickly, should be almost as like a warning for us that we need to share the gospel with as many people as possible, before, obviously, the rapture. At this time, when the context of this verse, Jesus is talking to the disciples after he had risen from the dead, telling them how to live out the rest of their life, telling them to spread the gospel to everybody. If you want, you can turn to Acts 1. I'm just going to read one verse, though, so you don't have to. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God is asking the disciples to spread it to every single person, that everyone may hear and that everyone may accept. He's not just talking to the disciples, but also to us, and we have to share it with as many people as possible also. In Revelation 22:20, as he said, surely I come quickly. There's no time. The time is now. Marshawn Kneeland was a defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, drafted in 2024, second round. I swear I didn't know Ignacio was going to talk about a football player too. But he tragically died Thursday, November 6th in 2025, after scoring his first ever career touchdown on Monday after a beautifully blocked punt. The cause of death was a self-inflicted gunshot. There were people in Nealon's life that were Christians, although he wasn't. His teammate reported that he wished he had shared his faith with him. His coach was also a Christian. Families, friends, and teammates reported that Marshawn Kneeland sent goodbye texts to them the night that he killed himself. Yet still, he never heard one thing about the gospel. It might not have happened, but if he texted that teammate, why did he not tell him? People couldn't have told him before, maybe because he was only 24 years old. So you could have thought, he's still young, there's still time. They were always thinking, I'll tell him later. Or now's not the time, or they're too scared. Or they took too long to think about it and then killed himself. Or the people that got the text that night didn't think he would actually go through with it. But they should have told him now. There is no later. Now is the time. There's no time to think, no reason to be scared with faith in God. You can't have fear if you have faith in God. No one else will share it if you don't. The rapture could happen. You could hear the trumpet sound before I finish this sentence. You could be going up into heaven, seeing your coworkers, your friends, staying down here. How would that make you feel? Your friend could get in a car accident before the service is over. How would you feel? A teammate could commit suicide on your drive home. How would you feel? In Acts 1:8, Jesus wasn't just talking to the disciples. He was talking to you specifically. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I think Jesus made it pretty clear what we're supposed to do. Still, we don't. You'll never regret sharing. You'll only regret not sharing. So what are you waiting for? Spread the gospel before it's too late. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that everyone here today will apply this message from you to their lives, because the truth is you will come quickly, and we must share the gospel as Paul did. I ask that you give these people a burden to share the gospel and leave this auditorium thinking about others who need to hear. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's context, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so they're saying, you know, maybe I can, if I'm a running back in the NFL, I appreciated both the NFL references over here in both the terms. If I'm a running back in the NFL, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That means I can rush for 200 yards in this game and get 3 touchdowns. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But what Ignacio brought out is that that's not really the point of what Paul was talking about, right? If we look at the context of the verse, could you turn back there with me? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And if we look above verse 13, he's saying in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, I don't want to re-preach Ignacio's sermon here, but something that a lot of people miss is what Paul is saying is, I know how to have everything, and I know how to not have anything. And because of Christ's strength, I can do anything for the cause of Christ through the Lord Jesus Christ who gives me strength. That means I can be abased through the Lord Jesus Christ's strength, and I can still press forward for the cause of the gospel. I can abound, and I can still press forward in the face of adversity for the cause of the gospel. It doesn't matter in whatever state I am. And Paul talks about this. This isn't the only place in the scriptures where Paul says this. He talks about all the things that he went through for the cause of the gospel. And what he's saying is it doesn't matter what happens in my life. The gospel is more important. The gospel is more important than the things that happen to me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's an encouragement for every single one of us. And one of the encouraging things that I thought Drew brought out in his sermon was a lot of us have read this second-to-last verse in the Bible just kind of in passing, right? So I was talking with Drew on Wednesday, and I was saying, what verse are you going to do today? On Sunday. And so he told me Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. And I was like, that's very interesting. I was thinking, I wonder what he's going to say, right? Is he going to give us a whole exposition on the book of Revelation? He brought out a wonderful point here. How many of us have thought, lo, I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. How many of us have thought, you know what? The Lord is coming quickly. And what am I doing to prepare for the Lord to come quickly? Am I going to that neighbor, that teammate, that person who doesn't have Christ? Because this could be the last day for them, for me. The rapture could be tomorrow. They could breathe their last breath. And what am I doing about it? Do I care? I might have shared this before, but there's a story of a magician, Penn and Teller. And I believe it was Teller who had a friend who gave him a copy of the scriptures. He said that it was somebody who came to him, and he kind of was rude to... Teller was rude to this gentleman who gave him the Bible, but he still told him the gospel anyways. And afterwards, Teller said, you know what? It's very interesting because I've had a lot of people who I've come in contact with who have said they are Christians, but none of them have ever shared the gospel with me or given me a Bible. How much do you have to hate somebody in order to think that there's a heaven and that there's a hell and that some people might be going to hell and not tell them? It's a powerful truth. How much do we have to think of ourselves in order to forget that there's people who are on the way to hell? That there's people who do not have Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift that we have to be able to share the gospel with other people. And yet so often we shirk from that responsibility. We shirk from that responsibility because we're ashamed. Because we don't want people to think that we're strange. Or we want to fit in with other people. And so, what we need to do is to remember. It doesn't mean that we're going to just not care about what people think about us, right? There's a human tendency to care. But what should happen is that we care more that Christ is coming back. We care more that this person is not on their way to heaven. We care more that we've been given a commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so that command can not only give us boldness to share the gospel, but it can give us this encouragement that we share with other people. It's this encouragement that we go to church and we talk to each other about where we've been, who we've been sharing the gospel with. Maybe we let somebody pass us by and we knew we should give them a tract or talk to them about Jesus. But we tell other people. We say, could you pray with me about this? You know what, could you go out with me, soul winning? Would you pray for me that I would talk to my neighbor or my coworker or this person who needs Jesus desperately? And if you would, I promise I'm not going to preach a full-length sermon, but if you would, could you turn to our verse that Elevation Youth has, and we've talked about it before here, but our verse that Elevation Youth has kind of claimed as our theme verse. So it's Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21. And it really goes along with what both of these guys have been talking about this evening. Verse 20 says this, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so also now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." And then here it is in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, this is interesting. There's a whole, of course, just as in any passage of Scripture, there's a whole lot of applications that we can take from these specific verses. But the thing that has jumped out at me recently is that first part of verse 21. And it's worded a little strangely, and so you kind of have to get past it. But he says, "For to me, to live is Christ." So how many of you have ever done some of those puzzles? They're kind of puzzles where you have two pictures side by side and you have to find the differences in the pictures. You know, I'm so bad at those. I don't know why. It's, I'm looking for the little minute, minuscule details on the coat or whatever, and turns out one of them's wearing a hat and one of them's not. Anyways, I can't do it very well, but they've always intrigued me because you're trying to find the differences, okay? I've always wondered what would happen if you try to get a person who's very smart and they think they can find the differences very easily, and then you just give them the same picture side by side and say, "All right, have fun, go find the differences." It would be very cruel, but there's a few people that I know would spend hours trying to find the differences. The interesting thing that Paul is saying here, it's kind of like that. He's saying, if you put a picture of my mission in life and a picture of what Christ's mission for me is, it's the same thing. You're not going to find a difference. For me to live is Christ. And because of that, to die is gain. If I'm going to live, my life is nothing about myself, and it's everything about Christ. And so, if we're thinking back to this this application of telling others about the gospel, telling others about Jesus, for me to live is Christ. For you to be able to say that in your life, what would need to change? For me to live is Christ. For you to be able to say that if my life was a picture and if Christ's mission was a picture, they would match up perfectly. That means that those people that you know don't know Christ, those people that I know don't know Christ, that means that I need to have a heart to go reach them with the gospel. And not just a heart to reach them with the gospel, but I need to go act on that heart, and I need to go and tell them about Jesus. Well, it's just not convenient, or I'm waiting for this specific moment. I'm smiling because I've had these exact same thoughts with the people that I know that I'm close to that need to hear the gospel, right? If you're going to wait for the perfect moment, you know, every now and then the perfect moment shows up, but not very often. Go knock on that door. Go talk to that coworker. Because as Drew and Ignacio have reminded us today, you don't have forever. And we don't know how long somebody has. Maybe they don't have very long at all. But what we do know is that we are supposed to be reaching and sharing the gospel with those people who are around us. And even maybe it's those people that you see around, but you don't really know that often. The people at the grocery store, the bank, whatever it might be, the gym. You can share the gospel with those people too. Everybody needs the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So, I would ask you to think about this tonight, this week. Does your life mission match up with the mission that Christ has for those around you? Does your life mission look identical to what Christ would have for you to do? I hope it does. I hope it does. And I hope that as you go through your week, you will see those people and not just ignore the pressing of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with them, but to actually go out of your way and give them a track or tell them about Jesus. And in that way, the Lord can give you so much joy. The Lord can give some amazing opportunities, and the Lord could even open their hearts in an amazing, incredible way to be able to hear the gospel or start a relationship, to be able to continue those things for Christ. So I'm going to go ahead and let Pastor close us as he comes, but I hope you'll think about that as you go throughout your week.